This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for listening. Welcome to Burke on Mayberry. We're looking at the episode, Andy the Matchmaker. Now, it was filmed as episode number 9, but it came in a little bit sooner than that when it was aired. It was actually shown on television on November 14th, 1960. It was written by Arthur Stander and directed by Don Weiss. In this episode, again, the early episode, you can hear the sort of more country talking, I like to say, between Andy and Barney and other characters on the show. But the show opens with Andy looking inside the hood of the squad car, and Barney walks by and says, "Hey, Andy, bye, Andy," and he's on a mission. And basically, Andy finds out that Barney's resigning, and Andy's determined to find out why Barney wants to resign. Barney basically said, there's no work for me to do here in Mayberry. There's no crime for me to catch anybody." So Barney begins taking out all of these various different items that he's going to turn in. And just to go through them all, he turns in a badge, a notebook, a pencil, a gun belt, a holster, a revolver, a bullet, whistle. The whistle had a new P that Barney replaced, and he said he wouldn't charge you for it. And one tie clip, one cap, one flashlight. So he kept saying one in front of us. He was turning in everything. And while he's doing all this, Andy continues to try to find out, well, what's the problem? Why are you going to leave? And it comes down that Barney goes up and finds that on the wall of the bank, there's a rhyme written about Barney Fife, the deputy. And standing next to the rhyme is Opie with some chalk in his hand. So I'm going to play a clip from the episode where you can hear what the poem was as Barney reads it, because he was so upset about it he wrote it down.
"Once was a deputy called Fife, who carried a gun and a knife. The gun was all dusty, the knife was all rusty, because he never caught a crook in his life."
Poor old Barney. Never caught a crook in his life, and Andy had to really hold back not to laugh in this scene. That's part of what makes this episode funny. And again, it's things like this in the Andy Griffith Show, that the little subtle things. Of course, the poem that Barney read was funny, but what's even funnier is that Andy has to walk away and cover himself so he doesn't laugh. And this, again, shows the caring attitude that Andy had toward Barney. You know, he could have just laughed right in his face, but he walks away from him, covers his mouth, and it's clear to us watching the show that Andy's about to laugh. So again, those little things show the caring that Andy Taylor had for Barney and all the other characters in the episode. So again, a lady named Rosemary comes in, and Andy finds out that Barney's sweet on, as he calls Miss Rosemary, but he hadn't had the guts to ask her out. And so she leaves. She'd brought Andy a shirt by that she had altered for him, and then Opie walks in, and Barney basically is saying to Andy, and I should have mentioned this a little earlier, he's confronting Andy. He said, "Won't you ask Opie about why he wrote that on the wall?" And so what he finds out is Opie said, "Well, I didn't do it." And he says, "Why?" He says, "Because I can't write." And so Barney realized it was some of the older kids that had done it. So anyway, as they're leaving the courthouse, Andy and Opie think, you know, we need to go to the Opie actually requests to go get some ice cream, and Andy starts thinking, you know, we need to make Barney feel a little bit more important. So he goes to the drugstore with Miss Ellie, and they conjure up this fake robbery, and they call Barney in, and Barney comes in with fingerprint powder, and he ends up throwing it all over the cash register himself in his face, and says he'll get the person within 24 hours. And Andy has to spend a little bit of time explaining to Opie why they conjured up a robbery that didn't occur, and how is it that Barney's ever going to solve it. And Andy basically explains to him, like, no, this will be better than that, because he'll get to talk about the robbery. People will come up and say, "Hey, Barney, how's that Walker case going?" He can say, "Oh, I'm still working on it," and that'll keep Barney busy for a while and get his mind off feeling like he's not important. Well, lo and behold, Barney comes in with a character by the name of Tracy Crawford, and arrests him, and Opie has to be rushed out of the courthouse by Andy because he's wanting to ask Andy, how could he arrest somebody when there was a fake robbery? So basically, the way the episode ends up, Andy calls Chattanooga and talks to the sheriff there and finds out this Tracy Crawford is an alias, and he's going to have to extradite him. And so Barney actually does catch a real-life criminal, and Barney gets his name in the paper, and, you know, you may remember the photo, which basically hangs up in the courthouse after that. It says, "Deputy Sheriff Fife cracks the Walker robbery. So, again, and underneath that photo, it says a little caption, "Deputy Fife, hero." So again, basically the episode near the end, Andy sort of dupes Barney into asking Miss Rosemary out, because Andy pretends he's asking Miss Rosemary out, and so as Barney's asking her out in his very shy way, Rosemary's just as shy about accepting. So Andy basically has to get them both and says almost asks her out and almost responds for her just to get it going. So it's funny, and so Barney finally has a chance to take Miss Rosemary out. Some interesting things about this episode that you may not have noticed if you're a trivia buff. How big a crime was it that they faking the drugstore robbery? Well, it was $24. And I bet some of you thought that was going to be my trivia question this week, but it's not. One of the things that's mentioned in this episode is that blueberry pie is one of Andy's favorites. And Andy also states that he likes that one of his favorite places to eat lunch is the Snappy Lunch. And I've mentioned in some other podcasts that I do go to Mount Airy, North Carolina. I've been the past 2 years to Mayberry Days there, and there really is a Snappy Lunch, and I've eaten there in the small little town of Mayberry. And Andy Griffith, in his childhood, did, particularly in his high school days, did go to this place and eat there quite a bit. And he liked to include things like that or representations of things like that from his own life into his episode. Another interesting thing in this episode, Barney calls himself Foxy Fife as after he catches Tracy Crawford. Also, the license plate on the squad car in this particular episode is DC-269. Now, this is the third time that this appears as DC-269, and the other two episodes was Opie's Charity, which we'll be doing in an upcoming podcast, and Ellie Comes to Town. Now, again, the reason, remember that some of these episodes were filmed in one manner but aired in another manner, so again, you have to keep that in mind. That's why I don't want you to get confused about some of the numbers that I come out when I say episode number something. For example, Andy the Matchmaker, today's episode is listed as number 9, but it was actually aired sooner than that. So again, you'll only see this DC-269 in three episodes. Then after that, it's back to the JL-327 for really the rest of the entire Andy Griffith show. So again, another interesting episode. Some of the people, the lady that played Miss Rosemary, by the way, she, you may know, and since it's early on, this was Barney's very first girlfriend, and she appeared in a handful of other episodes in the series, and a lot of times in guest roles, but her most notable role was she played Verlaine Campbell in the episode of Deputy Otis. You may remember that episode. We'll talk about it later when we get to it, but she was Otis Campbell's sister-in-law, and you see a little bit of that on the Andy Griffith Show, where characters actually come back and play someone different. Let me tell you a little bit of backstage information about the Andy Griffith Show. Again, we're talking about character development. You know, Barney Fife, his nervous part of his character, he did, you know, model that after somebody. But the character of Don Knotts, he didn't model after anybody in particular. He says in the book, The Andy Griffith Show book by Richard Kelly, and I'm just going to read it as a quote, he said, "The composition of the character unfolded from the interaction between myself, the writers, and Aaron Rubin. I guess the best way to put it is that I thought of Barney as a childlike man who was funny mainly because he was never able to hide anything in his face. If he was sad, he really looked sad. If he was angry, he acted angry. Children do that, pout, get overjoyed, or whatever. Barney never hid anything. He wasn't able to. In my mind, that was really the key to Barney's character." Aaron Rubin once told Don Knotts that he felt there was a lot of Don Knotts in Barney Fife, and he said Knotts' eyes got big and said, "Gee, I hope not too much." So again, it's always interesting, I think, to find out how these characterizations come about in the Andy Griffith Show. Well, I hope you're ready for the trivia question. I don't think this one's too tough. It comes from the episode, as Barney was resigning, and there'll be other episodes where Barney resigns and actually writes a resignation letter. Andy asked and said, "Well, Barney, what are you going to do?" So the trivia question for this episode is, as Barney was resigning, what different type of job did he say he was going to go out for? Again, as Barney was resigning, he said he was going to do a different type of job. What job did he say he would go out for? I hope you're enjoying these Burke on Mayberry podcasts. If you want to answer the trivia question, you welcome to email me at burkek at etsu.edu. If you have any questions or other comments about this podcast, you can use that same email address. If you want to go and check your answer, you can go to burkonmayberry.com and look at the answer to the trivia question. I thank you for listening, and as they say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.